This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ramadan Mubarak to you and to all of our audience who are observing tonight.
inshallah,
it's blown so quickly, SubhanAllah, we're halfway already.
SubhanAllah. May Allah give us our time, inshallah, and make the best of Ramadan what's coming for us, inshallah.
Inshallah. So we have a few questions coming your way, inshallah. We have a few exciting questions coming through. Just before we do so, everybody who is watching, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Sheikha Umm Jamal al-Din at the very end, feel free to comment your questions below and inshallah, we'll get to them shortly. Inshallah. So the first question that we'd like to ask you as a part of Charity Right Australia is, subhanAllah, the month of Ramadan is predominantly about the Quran. So how can we overcome the struggle of not feeling connected to the Quran?
Naam, inshallah. طيب بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما إنك أنت السميع القريب المجيب inshallah. So first of all, welcome to everybody. Inshallah, it's an absolute privilege and honor to be here. Alhamdulillah. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to make whatever we share tonight, you know, something of benefit for all of us. And I ask Allah that it really, you know, helps us to increase our iman and improves our connection with the Quran, inshallah. So first of all, we're talking about overcoming the struggle of not feeling connected. You know, this is a very common problem for a lot of people. You know, and one of the reasons why we have to realize is that a lot of people are not, you know, really used to focusing on the Quran throughout the year. So that's why when Ramadan comes and they're suddenly supposed to spend all this time with the Quran, you know, it can be quite difficult for a lot of people and they don't know how to, you know, get the most out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, like, alhamdulillah, like, I've got a lot of students, you know, that I teach Quran to, and, you know, a lot of them are, you know, most of them are non-Arabic speaking sisters. And in fact, a lot of them are actually reverts as well, right? But what I've found is that, you know, because they attend, you know, a consistent class or year, that, and because, you know, they've moved forward in their Quran journey over that year, right? And they find that they're able to recite, you know, correctly according to the rules of Tajweed. And, you know, they've learned the tafsir of the ayat that they've taken. SubhanAllah, like, I even actually asked them before this session just to also get some more feedback from them. And, you know, they're saying that, like, they can't explain the joy that they feel, you know, in having the ability to be able to recite the Quran the way, you know, of course, they're not perfect, but they're on that path, you know, and they're getting so much more out of reciting the Quran in their prayers and outside of their prayers, you know, this Ramadan compared to how it was in the past. So that's what I'm saying, that, you know, those who have that consistent relationship, you know, with the Quran, you know, they really do get a great sense of joy when they come to reciting the Quran, especially in the month of Ramadan, because they can see that progress that's been made over the year, right? And really the way I can describe, you know, coming to Ramadan for those who are, you know, inshallah, may Allah keep us steadfast, you know, you know, from those who are like, you know, they live with the Quran normally, it's sort of like as if you're being brought to some pastures and you're being let to, you know, you're set free to graze, you know, to your heart's desire kind of thing in Ramadan, you know what I mean? And I ask Allah Ta'ala that, you know, everyone can, you know, reach that level, inshallah, in their relationship with the Quran, you know, especially in Ramadan. It's a beautiful, sweet feeling. And I ask Allah to, you know, help to increase that for all of us, inshallah. So I think, you know, the first thing we need to, you know, reflect upon if we are struggling with that connection with the Quran in Ramadan, just simply ask ourselves honestly, you know, what our relationship is like with the Quran outside of Ramadan, because that does play a very big factor, right? But like, that's the long-term goal here. But I want to talk tonight a little bit about some short-term goals that we, or, you know, short-term things that we can do to help, you know, hopefully get a greater connection now for this Ramadan that we're in now, okay? So one of the reasons why, you know, many people are unable to, you know, taste that sweetness of reciting the Quran, often it can be due to, like, our hearts get hard, right? Our life is tough and we get exposed to so many different things. And over the course of the year, you know, we're so involved with, our lives are busy. We're not really focused on Allah and the Akhirah, like, no matter who we are, right? It's just the way life is today. It's a very busy life, right? So your heart gets hardened over the course of the year, right? And especially if you're not used to reciting Allah's Quran, then it's going to be, you're going to be in a worse state by the time Ramadan comes around, right? So yeah, so we have to realize that, you know, like sometimes there's certain sins we've done. If we reflect on our lives, we might see that there's certain sins we've been doing, having bad feelings towards others, having too much love for dunya, you know, all of that, it can block the heart from being able to, you know, really come to the Quran, right? That's why Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, he says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, right? Don't they ponder over the Quran, or are they like shackles on their hearts, right? So this is showing you that, like, those shackles can cause blockages in you being able to really get the most out of the Quran. And this is exactly why Uthman ibn Affan, he said, لَوْ طَهَرَتْ قُلُوبُنَا مَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا, like that if our hearts were really pure, we would never get enough from reciting the Quran. Like, we wouldn't be able to stop. You know what I mean? So you find that, you know, if you find that you know, quickly get tired from, you know, reciting the Quran, it's important to reflect upon what could be the cause. There could be some other external factors that's causing that for you, right? And this is why I often will advise people before coming to recite the Quran, just sit quietly for a few moments, you know, say astaghfirullah a few times before you recite, you know, even make dua and ask Allah, Ya Allah, take, you know, these bad feelings out of my heart, take these burdens out of my heart, you know, maybe even make tawbah if you can think about a specific sin you've done, you know, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah to, you know, forgive you for your past because, you know, and you know, take anything that's blocking you from coming to the Quran, you know, away from you, right? Until you feel that your heart is more receptive to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So this is a short-term thing that everybody can do now, right? A second thing is having the right mindset when it comes to reciting the Quran. That's also very important, okay? Now, one of the advices that, you know, Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he gives is that, you know, in order to truly benefit from the Quran, if we were to really benefit from the Quran, then you first need to empty your heart from, you know, all of the problems and worries of your dunya. Like, you know how we all are. We're always thinking about things of the past, things we have to do. Our minds find it very hard to take a rest in this day and age, you know. We're just so overburdened with so many things, right? But we just really need to just, you know, put a pause on our life and just empty everything, put it on the side and say, this is my time now for Quran. This is my time to be close to Allah through the Quran, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, mindfully say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, right? Because, like, we often say it, but we're not doing it mindfully. We're not really seeking refuge with Allah, you know, mindfully from the shaitan, you know? So try to do that as well. And then the next step is to focus your full attention and heart on the words that you're reciting, you know, and remind yourself, very importantly, remind yourself this is Allah Ta'ala that is speaking to you with these words, right? And that these words, if they were to be revealed upon a mountain made of stones, that it would have caused that mountain to crumble due to the power and heaviness of these words, right? So when you think about that, then why isn't it causing your heart to soften? You know, that means it's not the Quran, it's your heart. You know what I'm trying to say? That's what I'm trying to say. If anything, it could, that just that thought will make you cry. But what's wrong with me that I don't feel that? You know what I'm trying to say? This is a very good way to break yourself down, to get yourself ready for the Quran, right? And then another thing is, you know, to make yourself realize your need for the Quran, right? Because the Quran is literally your lifeline to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every verse that you are reciting is, you know, washing your heart from all of the amrad al-qalb, like all the diseases of the heart, the hardness. It's washing your heart, you know. And one of the mistakes a lot of people make, you know, when it comes to reciting the Quran, is they tend to recite the Quran with their eyes, right? And then focus on the letters and the tajweed, which, of course, it's important to focus on our maharij, you know, and our tajweed. But what you also need to be doing is to try to teach yourself, you know, to read with the eyes of your heart, not just the eyes, you know, in your head, but to read with the eyes from your heart. You know what I'm trying to say? you know, if you look at what Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, you know, he says, ya ayyuhan nas qad ja'atkum maw'idatun min rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fis suduri wa hudan wa rahmatun lil mu'minin, right? So Allah Ta'ala says, O people, verily there has come to you an admonition from your Lord, and it's a healing and a shifa for those, for whatever's in the hearts, and it's a guidance and a rahmah for the mu'minin, right? A mercy for the believers. So Allah Ta'ala in this verse, he's telling us that, you know, the Quran is a rahmah for the mu'minin. So then make yourself feel how much you're in need for the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala when you recite the Quran, you know? You know, he's telling us that this Quran is a shifa, it's a healing. You know, whatever you have in your heart, is this, Allah can mend the pains. Allah can mend the sadnesses. You know what I mean? So it's a, there's a shifa, and you're in need for that healing. It's a guidance. Like, who's not in need for the guidance of Allah, right? So that's why, you know, when you read the Quran, yes, you read it for the rewards, right? But read it in order to, like, increase your yaqeen and your iman, you know? Read the Quran so that, you know, with the intention that it will be a nur for you in this life, right? A light for you in this life to show you the way, a light for you in your grave, a light for you upon the sirat. And read it so that you'll be protected from a dhalala, right? And also that it's a comfort for you in times of hardness hardships and sadness, right? And this is why, even from the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka an taj'al al-Qur'an rabi'a qalbi. Like, Ya Allah, I ask you to make the Qur'an like the spring of my heart. Wa nura sadri, and the light of my chest. Wa jala'a husni, you know, and the removal of my sadness. Wa dhahaba hammi, and you know that relieves my all my problems. So we have to realize that in order to truly connect with the Quran, it's really important that you have the right mindset to begin with. Okay, so that's the second main point that I'm speaking about today, right? And then the last main point for this part of, you know, speaking about, you know, to get that connection, how to get that connection with the Quran, right? Is just take time to reflect upon the lessons that you can take away from whatever verses you're reading. Like, we have to realize that every single ayah is full of lessons that we need to take from, you know, messages from Allah Ta'ala. So, and that's why actually, if you don't understand the ayat, then it's really important you do read with the translation. Like, if you're not understanding Arabic, then it's better to read with the Arabic, with the English next to it, or whatever your language is, you know. Because one thing I can definitely say, you know, as someone who's gone through the journey of, you know, starting out from not understanding even one word of what I was reading, right? There's no doubt that when you have a better understanding of Arabic, that there's a huge difference on the impact that the Quran has on your heart when you have an understanding of Arabic, or a greater understanding of Arabic, in comparison when you're reading from the English translation. Like, it's a huge difference. I mean, the way I've explained to sisters, I say to them, like, you know, when you hear Allahu Akbar, what impact does that have on you in comparison to saying Allah is the greatest?
Yeah.
It's completely different.
A huge difference.
So if you were to hear the adhan in English, what impact would it have? Same thing with the Quran. You know what I'm trying to say? So this is one of the main reasons why we see the Sahaba, when they would recite the Quran, they would go past, not even go past one ayah, and they're overcome with tears, because not only did they have that deep understanding of the Arabic language, they understood the tafsir and everything, you know what I mean? So understand, you know? But look, the thing is, even if you can only read English, we need to realize the lessons and the messages of the Quran are still there, you know? Yeah. We can still take from the lessons. And that's why what you do, inshallah, like, the best way is, as you're reading, keep asking yourself, what is Allah? Reflect and ask yourself, what is Allah teaching me in this ayah? What does Allah want from me from this ayah, right? How can I act upon this ayah? And this is why I always ask, you know, tell people, advise them, that what you do before you recite is even make dua and ask Allah Ta'ala to open your heart, you know, and guide you to understanding what you need to take from these verses. Even if you've got a problem and you're trying to work out what to do, just sit down, start reciting, but beforehand ask Allah, Ya Allah, I'm looking for the answer to this problem. So Ya Allah, guide me through these verses I'm going to read. You know, and you'll find, subhanAllah, Allah will guide you. There'll be something that Allah will, you know, bring to you, and you'll feel peace, and you'll get like some sort of answer in a way that it's unexplainable, right?
Yeah.
So just generally, when you read the Quran, put this in your mind that either Allah Ta'ala is teaching you about himself so you can feel closer to him. You know, he's As-Sami', he's Al-Basir, you know, he's Al-Ali, he's Al-Qawi, you know, like his beautiful names, his attributes, everything about Allah in the Quran, right? Or he's teaching about his signs so you can know his greatness and powers he's reflecting upon the heavens and the earth and the creations, you know. That's all supposed to make you think and reflect and get close to Allah through realizing his power, right? Or he's teaching you your deen, how to worship Allah, or what you need to do to reach Jannah. What are the deeds that lead to Jannah? What are the deeds that you need to stay away from so you don't go to the hellfire and the male detect us? Or he's teaching you about the akhlaq, the character of the mu'mineen, you know, or the character of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, or the disbelievers, that we want to avoid those characteristics, right? Or he's strengthening your heart by reminding you of the stories of the struggles, you know, that the prophets and messengers went through. So that's the messages, that's the kind of messages that Allah is trying to give you in the Quran. So that's in a nutshell. Some quick ways that we can start to implement from today, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what our level of Quran is right now, but we can start implementing that from today, inshallah.
Inshallah. So you've pretty much outlined the importance of the Quran in general. So if we were to specify it for just the month of Ramadan, what would you say would be the main objective of reading Quran and understanding the Quran within the month of Ramadan?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. SubhanAllah. So like, okay. So we all know very well that Allah Ta'ala, you know, mentions in Surah Baqarah that شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. Right? So he says that the month of the Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, and it's a guidance to mankind, and, you know, it's evidences of, you know, guidance, and, you know, the criterion between the, you know, the truth and the batil, you know, the truth and the falsehood. Right? So, and also we know that Jibreel alayhi salam used to always revise the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Ramadan. So we know that from the greatest actions that we need to focus on, you know, doing in the month of Ramadan, is to turn wholeheartedly towards the Quran, right? Spending time as much as we can reciting it, trying to understand its meanings. But what happens to a lot of people is they lose sight of the main objective for why we are focusing so much on the Quran in Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, you might find them that they're just like forcing themselves to, you know, complete a khutma, for example, like, you know, complete the whole recitation.
Yeah.
And they're actually feeling really bored. Like, especially, I think it's a good topic to speak about this time of the month, because some people start out Ramadan, yeah, I'm going to read the Quran, you know, and then it's like by day 10, because they're not used to it, it's like, yeah, I don't know if I could read the Quran today, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, and so subhanAllah, you find that they feel a bit bored by now, you know what I mean? And they feel like they're not really getting anything out of it. So we have to realize, you know, dear sisters and brothers, that, you know, the main objective of reciting the Quran and having such focus on the Quran in this month is so that that recitation, you know, brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And the other thing is that it has an impact on you, right? Both internally and externally. That's what you should be seeing. There's through you coming to the Quran, like the way we just mentioned before, in that sincere way, really seeking, you know, everything through the Quran, you know, seeking Allah through the Quran. This is what will have an impact on you internally and externally. So, so one thing I, you know, suggest as well is rather than like some people may be very happy doing a khatma and mellow ward them, but other people, like, it depends on your level where you are, you know, like if some sister is not very confident, you know, for example, in reciting the Arabic, like she might be better off just reading Juzama every day.
Yeah.
That might be all she can do, you know? I know for myself, when I first started out, like I had different goals. I set different goals each Ramadan for myself. But when I set those goals, it really gave me, I get joy out of it because I've got this certain goal and I just stick to that goal. Of course, you don't make a goal that's too hard for yourself. You make something achievable, you know, and even if you don't 100% do it, it doesn't matter because you tried your best, you know, you had the intention, but that's what helps if you have some sort of goal, right? So mm-hmm. it could be like this Ramadan, I'm going to recite the whole Surah Baqarah, for example, right?
Yeah.
Now, another thing that's helping a lot of sisters this Ramadan, alhamdulillah, is, you know, you've probably heard about the Qariya app, right?
Yes,
the new Qariya app.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of sisters have been feeling a really renewed connection with the Quran, you know, through hearing the recitation of female reciters. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can, that is something that, you know, I could recommend for a lot of people if they don't know how to read Arabic well or anything. You know, use it to help you to recite. You know, you can listen to it, of course, but you can also use it to help you to recite. You know, if you're not good at reciting, use it as a tool, you know. That's something else that can really help people right now.
For those who don't know much about your app, where can they go to find more information?
Well, it's not my app.
Well, a app, any the app, that app. Special app.
I do have, I mean, I do, yeah, I did share my recitation on the app. Like I've got, I tried to put all the parts of the Quran that beginners particularly need. So like Surah Al-Kahf, Juz Amma, you know, all those, you know, Ayat al-Kursi, Surah Al-Fatiha, all the very important Surah Al-Mulk, you know, Yasin, all the ones that people who are beginners, they really want to, mm-hmm. you know, where do they go? That's a good question. You just go to Qariya app. Like maybe someone can put it in the comments. But yeah, that I think has helped a lot.
Yes.
Like a lot of sisters have got really renewed. Like I can't explain it. For some people, it's been groundbreaking for a lot of people. Like it's everyone's going to be different, but a lot of sisters, like I've in my Quran classes even, they were just like so happy. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Even for me, because I tell them like, okay, well, you've got Juz Amma, you can go and... You know, you can go and listen to that now. You know? So, yeah, you got no excuses, I tell them. But look, so what I'm going to get back to what I was going to say. So,
yes,
you know, we're talking about how the Quran, you know, what you should be getting out of the Quran, the objective that you should be getting out of the Quran, right, is that we want, you know, what we hope to, you know, get out of the Quran in this month is that we experience change within mm-hmm. ourselves. And, you know, in our character, in our outward actions, like there should be some impact of reciting that Quran. It's not just recite. And we're just exactly the same as what we were before Ramadan began. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So this is another thing that's assisting us. Like the fasting is assisting us, but the Quran as well is also assisting us, right?
Yeah.
So when you're reciting the Quran, you have to realize, what does the Quran do? Like the Quran fills your heart with aqidah. You know, mm-hmm. it literally fills your heart with aqidah, right? It fills your heart with tawakkul, you know. It fills your heart with, you know, having rajat, you know, hope in Allah and hope in the Jannah and husn al-dhan and having love for Allah and, you know, being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, patience, all of these different things that the Quran is doing as you're reciting and reflecting upon the verses, right? And then from that impact it's having on your internal state, then you start to see changes in your external state. So, like, if you look at what Aisha said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, what did she say? She said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an." Like, he literally was, like, the example, the living example of the Qur'an, you know, in his character, mm-hmm. his manners, everything, right? And interestingly, we also know that when it came to Ramadan, like, he was the most generous of all people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when Ramadan came, and due to him, you know, revising the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salam in this month, the companion said that he became ajwada bil khayri min arih al mursala, that he became, you know, more, you know, racing in good than a fast wind. So that's the effect the Quran had on him. So what I'm saying is, if you're really reciting the Quran this month, you know, sincerely reciting the Quran in the way that we've been talking about, you should see a change in yourself. Like you should be feeling like you want to do more good. You want to pray more. You want to give more sadaqah. You want to help people more. Like you want to change. You want to fix your akhlaq. Do you understand it? There should be like some sort of like a force within you that you want to just completely change your life.
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm saying is when you recite, make sure you're doing that to bring about change in yourself in this Ramadan. And because what I've, you know, you do find sometimes you get some people that, unfortunately, for some people, the Quran is more like something like a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just want to listen to it or something like that. Or, you know, they want to decorate their houses with it, you know, put on their mantelpiece. But we have to realize that, you know, the scary thing about the Quran as well is that it's going to be either evidence for you or against you. Like the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Quran, hujjatul lak aw alayk. Like the Quran is either evidence for you or against you. So like when you recite, that's what puts fear in your heart, because you know, you're reciting and you're reminding yourself that this is the words of Allah, like I said, so heavy, so powerful. And, you know, and that they're going to come as an evidence for you, either for you or against you. And we ask Allah that they've all the ayat we read are for us, inshallah, on Yom Al-Qiyamah, you know. So just have that, you know, have that intention to really change yourself with the Quran by, you know, immersing yourself in the Quran and also training your nafs to get used to reading a lot of Quran, so that you develop better habits with the Quran, so that you continue after Ramadan, right? So that's what I wanted to mention about you know, having that strong connection with the Quran, inshallah.
No, and thank you for sharing, because there are times where us women, we do want to optimize our Ramadan to read as much Quran and, you know, to make as much dua as possible. But there are certain times where we cannot as women. So do you have any advice? Because I'm sure it's a very common question that comes up every Ramadan. But as women, there is a period of time where we cannot, you know, fast or read Quran. So do you have any advice for what we can do during those times or during that week or so, so we can kind of optimize our Ramadan?
Yeah. Look, I get asked this question a lot.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Look, obviously you can't pray and fast when it's the time of the month for you, okay? But I just want to mention that there is actually a difference of opinion about whether a woman can recite the Quran when she's not able to, you know, when she's got her menses, can she recite the Quran or not? You know, and just mention that, like, for example, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he was of the view that, and this is because there really isn't strong evidences to show that a woman cannot recite the Quran during her menses. And especially when in Ramadan, it's like you have like a wibd. Usually you have a wibd, like where you recite a certain amount every day. Like you want to maybe recite a juz every day or, you know. So, you know, so based upon that, and I don't want to go too much into the fiqh right now. But there are very, you know, the point is there is very strong evidence to show that there's nothing actually wrong with reciting the Quran, but just don't touch the actual mushaf. There is evidence for that. But, you know, you can easily just use tissues, or you can read off an iPad, or you can read off your phone, or there's other alternatives, you know. Or if you've got an English translation, we're not talking about the English translation. You've got the English translation with the Arabic on it. That also doesn't come under as a mushaf. We're only talking about the Arabic mushaf, touching it directly, right?
That's right.
So, like, taking that opinion, you know, then you're only talking about not fasting, you're only talking about not praying. So you're still filling your time with reciting the Quran, doing your adhkar, you know, doing sadaqah, doing all kinds of, you know, any other, like, Islam's not just fasting, prayers, and reading Quran. You know, it's everything that you intend for the sake of Allah, right, sincerely for the sake of Allah, becomes an act of ibadah for you. Even if it's just cleaning your house, looking after your kids for the sake of Allah. Like, but what you do, try to be smart in Ramadan. Try to make, especially in Ramadan, even if you can do it all the time better, but especially in Ramadan, make everything you do for the sake of Allah. Like when you wake up in the morning, you got to get up to look after the kids. Ya Allah, bismillah, for the sake of Allah, I'm going to do this. You know what I'm trying to say? You're living your whole life for Allah. Try to live your whole life for Allah. Like Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that my prayer, my sacrifice, my living, my dying is all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds, right? That's how you, that's your mindset as a believer.
Yeah.
Nothing's wasted with Allah, right? The dishes, I know they're boring, but bismillah, ya Allah, I'm going to do this. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, so everything, yes. Yani, but as well, like, and we all know that if you feed a fasting person, in Ramadan, you get the same reward as them without taking away from their rewards. There's so much we can be doing in Ramadan, right? There's so much we can do in this. But also, I just want to also remind the sisters too, realize that when you're not praying and fasting, your iman is likely to go down. So you need to compensate. You need to compensate. So, like, you need to read more Quran, you need to do more adhkar, you need to do more sadaqah. Like, that's why the Messenger of Allah actually reminded, you know, the sahabiyat, you know, to give sadaqah because of the effect that, you know, the menstruation has on their iman, like knowing that it decreases your iman because you can't pray, right? So that's, you know, don't think that, like, one thing I do want to mention too here, it's very important, is like some sisters, unfortunately, when they get their time of the month in Ramadan, they pretty much just say, okay, I've got my time of the month, so I'm just going to lie down the bed and Ramadan's over for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't realize that.
Kind of like a little pause, like a 1 week pause.
Yeah, just because you can't fast and pray. Yeah. There's all these hasanat to gain, you know, it's not, there's no time to be lying down, sleeping and... You know, we're talking about dhikr. Yeah. Someone's asking about what's adhkar. So that's dhikr. Sorry, it's the plural of dhikr. So you do lots of dhikr. Subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know what I mean? Fill your day with the dhikr of Allah, right? So there's no excuses, sisters. You can't use that as an excuse.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think going off what you've said, there are a few working mothers in our community and working fathers who are constantly on the run, you know, subhanAllah, we wish that Ramadan was just a big pause in our lives. We could only dedicate to the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unfortunately not, life still goes on. So do you have any advice for the working mums and dads out there who do want to dedicate time to the Quran, but they just cannot get around to it?
Yeah, sure. Look, the Quran has to be a priority in your life. When you have that as a priority, you will make time for it. Like, if you take in mind what everything I mentioned before about what the Quran does for you, you'll know that you cannot do without it. It's like, just like you cannot do without food and drink every single day, you cannot do without this food for your soul, which is the Quran. Okay? So when you know that how important you depend on it for your iman and for to have barakah in your life and barakah in your day, you know, and nur in your life, right? Guidance in your life, then you will make time for it. And if you're really busy, like, then look for the times where, you know, like, they're kind of like certain pockets of time that you can try to use. Like, it could be like after Fajr, like, you know, the kids might be still sleeping a bit, quickly, you know, sit down after Fajr and that's your time for Quran.
Yeah.
If you're really busy, or you go on the train, recite, take the Quran with you, recite on the train, you know, in a car, listen to it in the car, you know, at the doctor's surgery, while you're sitting in the surgery waiting for your turn, take the Quran with you. You know, don't waste your time. Like, we can all find pockets of time. For some sisters, it could be, or, you know, brothers, it could be just before going to sleep. Like, they sit down, they have a bedtime routine, and, you know, they, for example, they take wudu before they go to sleep. They sit down, they start reading the Quran before they go to bed. You know what I'm trying to say? Everyone can find time for Quran if they really want to. It could be next to your prayer mat. You know, every time you pray, you pick up and read some pages. So we've all got time. It's just a matter of prioritizing and then finding those. Just think about your own life. Like, I can't tell you what's the best time. You've got to figure it out for yourself, like, according to your timetable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I think is important too is, like, you know, don't compare to others, because that's really like, okay, someone who hasn't got small children, you know, their kids have grown up or they don't have kids yet, they can probably sit and recite Quran all day. You know what I mean? Well, someone
true.
Else who's got, you know, a young mum, or someone who's got to work all day, you know, they haven't got the same amount of time. So you can't be comparing what other people can do to yourself. We've got to realize life is stages. You know, there were times in my life where I was very busy and I could hardly find time. But, you know, alhamdulillah, when your kids get older, it becomes easier for you. You know, we're all going to go through stages in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said before, focus on the main objective, what we were talking about before. What is the main objective of reciting the Quran in the first place? Even if you can't finish the whole khatmah, It's not about that. It's about getting close to Allah through the Quran in this month, you know? That's more important, that you really tried your best with the Quran, you were sincere, you tried to get the most out of it, you tried to change yourself. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like what we mentioned before.
Yeah. So last question I have for you, because we do have a few questions that have come through. Inshallah. So last question I have for you before we give the stage to the audience is, subhanAllah, we're halfway through Ramadan. You know, we've got, I believe, 2 more weeks to go. And if we could have Ramadan all year round, we would. But we're very limited with how long we can enjoy Ramadan. So for those who have set goals and haven't been able to achieve those goals or haven't been able to achieve what they wanted to achieve by the end of Ramadan, what advice do you have for them? Is it too late to keep going?
SubhanAllah, like, look, that is such a common problem. Like, just realize that a lot of people, you know, when it comes to this stage of Ramadan, because again, like, our lives are just so crazily busy for most people, you know, and so, SubhanAllah, you know, you get to, you know, it's already the middle of Ramadan, what have I done? You know, a lot of people feel like that, And they feel quite disillusioned, you know, because they haven't done what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
But the good news is, my dearest sisters and brothers, that, you know, from the rahmah of Allah, that He saved the best part of this month until the last, you know. So a lot of people don't realize that the middle 10 days are greater in virtue than the first 10 days. And the last 10 days are greater than the middle days. So we're in the middle days now. These are even better than the first 10 days. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the last 10 days. So he saved the best to last. So that's why what you can say is that, you know, no matter how your Ramadan has been for you up until now, the way you end Ramadan is more important than how you begin it. That's not to say you don't do anything in the beginning of Ramadan and, you know, you don't do that either, because no one guarantees living to the end of Ramadan. May Allah bless our lives, right? But the point, what I'm trying to say is, don't let yourself feel disillusioned, because, like, for example, the Messenger of Allah said, "Innamal amalu bil khawatim," like, that deeds are by their endings. So mm-hmm. it's very important. The way you end is even more important than the way you begin. And just keep in mind, everyone, that what does Allah want from you in this month, right? He wants, from more than anything, what Allah wants to see from you is your ikhlas. He wants to see that sincerity, right? And how much you've got to, you know, the idea is to show Him how much you truly want His maghfirah. How much do you want the maghfirah of Allah? How much do you want the forgiveness of Allah in this month? And how much are you ready to strive for Jannah? That's what you're going to show Allah. How much are you ready to strive for Jannah, right? So that's why you try to do your best in what's left from Ramadan, mm-hmm. especially in the last 10 nights. They are like the cream of Ramadan, and especially like Laylatul Qadr. May Allah bless us all to live till then and bless our night, mm-hmm. inshallah. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, right? Whoever stood in the nights of Ramadan with sincere iman, you know, and hoping for the reward from Allah, their previous sins would be forgiven. وَمَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمْ مِنْ ذَنْبِ, right? Whoever fasted the month of Ramadan with sincere iman and hoping for the reward of Allah, mm-hmm. they would have their previous sins forgiven, right? And then also realize that from the greatest ways to get the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah, is to give sadaqah for the sake of Allah, right? This is from the greatest ways. Like, what are we trying to do in Ramadan? We are trying to reach Jannah and save ourselves from the fire, right? The best way to save yourself from the fire and show that sincerity to Allah is through sadaqah, is through charity. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, He says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You'll not reach the high levels with Allah until you learn to give what you love. You learn to spend what you love, right? And at this point, this is where I want to actually, you know, just take this opportunity to quickly invite everyone who's listening here tonight, who might be looking for where to give their money to, right? They want to give sadaqah. Where can I give money to? Yeah. Well, what I want to recommend, inshallah, is to give to Charity Right, right? Because what Charity Right are doing, just for those of you who might not know, they're involved mm-hmm. in not only providing food for, like, vulnerable Muslim kids, you know, around the world, but they're also helping to give them a whole new future by helping those kids to, you know, get educated and, you know, raise their level so that they're able to become, you know, like, raise themselves out of poverty, basically. And, you know, that is protecting them from the harms that often come with poverty, the harms that come to kids, right, mm-hmm. through poverty. So it's not just, you know, because a lot of, you know, mainly what everyone in the path of charity, but a lot of charity programs, it's just about giving up, you know, the food. But this is a targeted type of charity that is not just giving out the food, but it's trying to actually, you know what I'm trying to say? It's trying to be very, comprehensive, where it's really trying to lift that those kids, you know, out of poverty and give them a whole new future, subhanAllah. And, like, you see some of the videos, you know, about, like, young kids, like, they had nothing. Like, they had to go to work. Some of them had to work 10 hours just for food, right?
Yeah.
But then, alhamdulillah, through the blessing of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then Charity Right, you know, these kids, because they've been put back into school and now they've got actual dreams. They actually can start dreaming for themselves. Like, some want to be doctors, some want to be teachers, you know, subhanAllah. So imagine that you've given that child, inshallah, a chance in life. Like, you know, we all want the best for our kids. We have to love for other people's, you know, other Muslim, you know, our Muslim children around the world. We have to love for them what we love for our own kids. you know.
Absolutely. So and I've hyperlinked your team link in the comments below. So if you want to maybe elaborate a little bit more on that and how people can join your team, inshallah.
I haven't really been inviting people to my team, but if they want to donate, like if they just want to, that if you, they want to go on that link that you shared, they can donate. I mean, look, I mean, we're talking about, imagine sisters and brothers, $30, 30 Australian dollars. You feed a child for one whole month, right? And for $365 only, you feed a child for a whole year. So imagine every day of the year, inshallah, you're getting a reward for every single day of the year. In the lab 365 days for feeding a young child, and not only feeding the child, you're helping to give them a whole new future. I think that's amazing. It's amazing, you know. It's very like
life changing,
very very affordable for a lot of people. Yeah. Like how much do we spend on coffees a week? Like most people at least get one coffee a week from outside, right? If coffee goes up, you know. But like look, so what I'm saying is, you know, especially for anyone who feels they haven't done enough this Ramadan, right? And they're really hoping that Allah is going to open it for them in what's left of these precious days and nights of Ramadan, then realize that from the greatest ways to seek nearness to Allah and expiate for your sins, your previous sins, is give sadaqah, give charity for the sake of Allah, especially the secret charity, that only Allah knows about it, right? Because like I was saying before, what Allah Ta'ala really wants to see from us in this month is that sincerity. This is the month where Allah frees more people from the fire than in any other month. So what are we going to do for Allah to help ourselves be from those who are freed from the fire in this month? That's what you've got to ask yourself. What have you done so far in Ramadan to make yourself from those who Allah is going to free from the fire in this month? If you don't feel like you've done enough, this is a door for you. I'm trying to give you a door to show you. And especially if you want Allah to open it for you in these next nights, especially the last 10, you want Allah to open it for you in Laylatul Qadr. The best thing you can do now is give charity, you know, make dua, ask Allah to give you tawfiq, and also make tawbah. Those things are very, like, they're going to really help you to be successful, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. So one question has come through. I think maybe this sister might have missed it. So I'm just going to quickly read it out once more. And if you just want to go through the main points. Advice on memorization of Quran for mothers who struggle with time.
Yeah, so that is a bit of a different question. So advice for memorizing the Quran. Look, most people, I'm going to be honest with you, most people cannot memorize the Quran on their own. Okay? They need to be in a class or they need a Quran buddy. Okay? So either you join a Quran class and you have a set amount you're going to recite, like you're going to memorize every week, or you have a sister who's very reliable. You need to find a very dedicated type of person because not everybody's the same. You don't want someone who just keeps saying, oh, I can't make it this way, I can't make it that way. That won't work, you know. You need one of those dedicated types that you feel accountable to, and then you memorize together. Okay, that is they are really the two ways until you get to a point where the Quran is so normal to you, like memorizing the Quran becomes so normal to you that you don't need anybody else. Like you can just do it on your own. You can just recite to someone like from time to time to make sure there's no mistakes, but you don't need anyone to motivate you. Do you understand?
Yes.
So that's what you're looking at, inshallah. But if you're asking me, okay, so that was the first part about how to, I forgot to mention how, like, so again, that just goes back to finding the time. That is all about, as alhamdulillah, as a mother who's raised five kids, and alhamdulillah, I've never given up my journey with, you know, seeking knowledge and memorizing the Quran, alhamdulillah. It's about juggling. That's what I can basically describe it. So like when my kids were small, like I even had twins at one stage.
Oh, mashallah.
Yes. And no, so what I would do is because I just was so determined I want to memorize the Quran, for example, right? Yeah. So for example, I would put them to sleep. You know, they had their little nap time about like at 9:30 in the morning. And I would just sit down and that was my Quran time. You know what I'm trying to say? So you will find the time, but you just have to just work out how you're going to do it in relation to, you know, your schedule, basically. And even if it's just a little bit, it doesn't matter because every little bit adds up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Jamaluddin, jazakallah khair for joining our first Instagram Live for Charity Right Australia. It has been so great speaking to you. And inshallah, this talk has come to such a great benefit for our audience. I believe no other questions have come through, so I think it's good to wrap up, unless you have any last pointers you'd like to share.
Look, as I said, inshallah, just everybody, as I said, just really try to, you know, ask Allah Ta'ala to give you the most out of the Quran this month. Make your intention to that, you know, that when you recite the Quran, it's about changing yourself. Okay. You want to change your inner state. You want to change your outer state. Like, we know that Allah Ta'ala, you know, prescribed fasting for us to get the taqwa of Allah. Similarly, why we read so much Quran in Ramadan is to get close to Allah in this month. And, you know, and to make those changes in our life. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to fill our hearts with the love for the Quran. I ask Allah Ta'ala to fill our children's hearts for the Quran and to fill our homes with the Quran and the light of Iman. You know, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to make the Quran a light in our graves, a light on the Sirat, and a light that will guide us to Jannah, inshallah, and save us from the fire. So, you know, may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala protect us all. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to bless us with Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. And inshallah, this is a beginning for all of us to start on our journey with the Quran, a real journey, inshallah, like if we haven't been serious up until now. But we ask Allah that this talk we gave tonight will be a life-changing talk, that many people will get on that journey, and you will see, bi'idhnillah, next Ramadan, how much different your relationship will be with the Quran, inshallah, as long as you've taken those steps throughout the year to really, you know, change your relationship with the Quran, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. And if anybody in our audience today wants to continue listening to Sheikh Khatam Jamaluddin's fantastic talks, I know that I follow you wherever you go, wherever I see your flyer up on your Instagram and your Facebook. Please give her a follow. Please give her a like on Facebook, I believe. You're also on Facebook?
On Instagram these days. I'm sort mainly. Of like, I don't know, I feel happier. I don't know why I feel happier with Instagram audience. I feel like Facebook's become too toxic for me. I don't know what it is. So I'm kind of migrating a little bit.
The convenience of Instagram is very easy. So I'm 100% with you on that one. Assalamu alaikum. Well, this has been great, guys. Thank you so much for joining our first Instagram Live. Jazakumullah khair. Please stay tuned on Charity Right Australia's Instagram account. We will be announcing our next Instagram Live, inshallah, next week with another new guest speaker. Jazakumullah khair, everybody, and to Sheikh Khatam Jamaluddin for your beautiful talk and for your beautiful advice. Ramadan Mubarak to everybody who is observing.
May Allah bless everybody here, inshallah. I ask Allah to revive your iman, inshallah. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.